Thank you and good afternoon. And I wish I had chocolate for all of you for coming, because I know that you're like your bags are packed. So are mine. So I'm Kim Larson. East Carolina University is where I teach nursing. My colleagues, Rebecca Craig is the CFO of our community hospital. Mandy Foshi Lancaster is the director of the Center for Survey Research. Carolyn King is the health education supervisor at the local health department. Zach Love and Justin Rains are our statisticians. So I want to share with you today what happened with when three entities came together to form a partnership to collaborate on a community health needs assessment and our preliminary action plans for a county in eastern North Carolina. I have no relationships to disclose. So for this collaborative model to happen, a combination of requirements and opportunities coincided. First, the requirements. In 2012 marked the year where community nonprofit hospitals were required to, by the ACA Act, or the Affordable Care Act, to conduct a community health needs assessment in order to keep their tax-exempt status. In the fall of 2011, the hospital CFO, one of the authors, approached the director of the county health department to discuss how to begin a community health needs assessment. That's fortuitous, because a lot of hospitals don't ask for advice. But this particular CFO is very prolific in reading, and she read the Affordable Care Act, which, as you all know, is 1,000 pages long. And on page 803, she read that the Affordable Care Act directs hospitals to seek input from persons who represent broad interests of the community served by the hospital, including, this is what I loved, including those with expertise in community health. Now, if you guys didn't know that, you have got to go to your hospital with the Affordable Care Act and this highlighted. They have to work with you. I assume you're public health people. Okay. So anyway, the CFO came and said, you know, we'd like a little advice. They didn't start out with this relationship. But then the other requirement that happened was the county health department that same year came up for their community health needs assessment. You know, every 4 years in North Carolina, I don't know about your states, every 4 years we have to do one. Well, 2012 was the have-to for us. And it was coincidental that I happened to be the chair of the county board of health that year, and so really encouraged us to develop this partnership like good public health nurses do. So then the opportunities started to happen. I also teach in a college of nursing, so I got together the community health nursing students to do their service learning project on this collaborative, which, as you know, you need a lot of troops on the ground to do community health needs assessment. So I engaged 7 to 10 in the spring of 2012 to do some of this research. And then the other opportunity was the Center for Survey Research had just completed a neighboring community health needs assessment, so had the expertise and a tool that we could build on for a survey. Okay, so here's the leadership team, the health department, the health education supervisor. I was the chair of the Board of Health at the time, the hospital CFO, and the director of Wayne Action Team for Community Health. That's a free clinic, so just keep that in mind. The hospital runs our free clinic. That's a story in itself. Center for Survey Research, the director. So electronic correspondence weekly, leadership team meetings every other week, and when we came together with initially in 2012, January, to start our planning, we talked about how we need to hear from stakeholders. So the stakeholder meetings were the first things that we started getting together. And I should say that we invited the director as a stakeholder, the director of the community soup kitchen, as one of the stakeholders who had never, ever been a part of a community assessment and plan before. I'm sure you all have involved your director of soup kitchens, but she had never, and she'd been there for two decades. It was embarrassing to me. A little word about North Carolina in that the Latino population has grown over the last 20 years, like 400-fold. And so I have been doing some community-engaged research with the Latino population. I was a former Peace Corps nurse in Honduras and so continued in North Carolina to work with migrant farm workers and to work with the Latino population, so engaged to Latino leaders in this stakeholder meeting. So team members from the university applied for and received institutional review board approval because we wanted to use this data for public dissemination. It was exempt because it's survey data and we aggregated everything. So there was no individual marker to trace someone back to the research. So based on the North Carolina Community Health Assessment Guide, the leadership team compiled a list of key stakeholders, and they were from government, business, healthcare, education, and faith-based and philanthropy organizations. So the United Way, who runs our health literacy program, and I want to point out that public transportation came as a government official, but lots of folks came. And we held this first meeting to just sort of open up, you know, we want you involved in this community health assessment. And we set them in tables of 5 to 10, and we asked the question, what would a healthy county look like? So that was the information from the, and I'll show you how that fed into the community health assessment. Nursing students, again, were the recorders at each of these round tables, and that was, again, a part of their service learning. So troops on the ground, they're wonderful. So we held the first three focus groups in underrepresented neighborhoods. So the top one is a Latino market. The community soup kitchen is our friend Waving, and the mobile bus is our free clinic. Nursing students received training in focus group facilitation, so they facilitated these focus groups, and they're at night. This is what troops on the ground, I mean, focus groups are really labor intensive, so with this training, it elevated, you know, some of their own, their skills, but also enabled us to do many focus groups. So we did these three focus groups, and it was critical to get this population that is underrepresented in all of our data sources. And then seven other, the Community Health Assessment Guidebook in North Carolina says 10 focus groups are what they recommend for a comprehensive community health assessment. So we followed the guidebook and held seven other ones in geographic areas that are located on the dots here, for a total of 86 people involved in these 10 focus groups, with half female and half male. Now remember, those first three were underrepresented Latino and African American primarily. These were primarily all white. These focus groups were primarily all white. We're looking at these two focus groups in other data, and they're very different, as you can imagine. But I'm talking today about things that converged. So that's, you know, 20 minutes, what can you do, right? So then we had an online survey through the Center for Survey Research. 1,369 surveys came back to us. That was twice what we expected. In a county of 120,000. It was in English and Spanish. It was we did countywide advertising. We gave a 2-week incentive for a YMCA membership, which I don't think anybody really cared about, frankly. I'll be honest with you. And we did data weighting, which allows for demographic groups that are underrepresented, which we knew some were underrepresented, to have equivalent influence on survey results as they would if represented accurately. I have the seven focus group questions here, but I think I don't have really a lot of time to go through those. So the secondary data was what we all look at, but with the Center for Survey Research, they looked at 20 national, state, and local references, and in the past, we've never looked at that many. So I just want to put that number out. And then we did these comparisons with peer counties, north of the state, and then the U.S. This is the model that we eventually came up with, and we all agreed that everybody would have an equal representation. So stakeholder information was equally, not any, and remember, these stakeholders have a lot of power and money, right? government, health care. These are doctors. So, but we all agreed that every data source would have equal representation for our health indicators. Well, we agreed to that verbally, and maybe in someone's heart it wasn't there. But anyway, we all said, this is our model, and it was an equal representation. So we began by talking about strengths in all of these, because all of us, I think, we look at problems first, and so we tried to look at strengths. And as you can imagine, the stakeholders, as I mentioned, they're fairly powerful. I mean, I mentioned the director of the community soup kitchen, who doesn't feel powerful, but just by her very position in the community, she's powerful. And of course, they all mentioned that they had great assets. Hospitals and health departments. The military was there. We have a great Air Force base in town. Stakeholders had so many assets I didn't put up here. But the survey was interesting that converged with focus group data. They said it was a family-friendly, that was one of the strengths of the county, and that there was a lot of help from community members. Focus groups agreed with that. And I put this bus up there because in 2009, a very important thing happened in this county, and that is public transportation. There was stimulus money, and we got buses with American flags on them and social marketing on the side. I don't know if you can read that, but it says, guns and gangs will land you in jail. And that's important. So we have social marketing all over our American flag buses. But this just started in 2009, and I don't know about you guys, that wasn't very long ago. So enough said about that. So now a little bit about the county. I mentioned 120,000. It's the largest rural county in North Carolina. The University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute County Health Ranking placed this county 64th out of 100 in the counties for health and social outcomes. The median age is 36.7, with a majority of the population between 25 and 54. You can see here our racial and ethnic groups are very diverse and a little bit different than the state. So rounding up, 56% are white, 31% are black, and 10% are Hispanic, and a very small percent are other. Education is very different from the state. This pains me. Almost 20% of the population, 25 and older, have not completed high school or received an equivalency degree, unlike the state. And then this county has also a lower percentage of adults who report having a bachelor degree or a graduate degree compared to the state. So not surprising that both median annual household income and per capita income were both lower than the state income levels, and almost a quarter of the population live in poverty. So we weren't surprised when the survey came back that 20% had no health insurance. And that's all I'll say about that slide. Except the fact that secondary data reported something also very concerning, that we had one primary care provider for 1,146 people. And the benchmark, the U.S. benchmark for that ratio is 1 to 631. So focus groups and the survey reiterated that access to care was a huge problem. The second, and I'm only highlighting some of the things that converged, okay? So crime, secondary data in crime was very high, higher than the state, it's the green bar. And the survey and focus groups were all over this. Shootings and crime have brought a negative image to the community. Gang activity and violence are serious problems. We need more police. Remember that social marketing sign on our bus? And then our priority health conditions are very much higher than the state for our trend data. So, priority health conditions also in the survey and focus groups, number one concern was obesity in both the survey and the focus groups. Wayne County has been called a food desert. I don't know if other of you have counties in your states that, so in other words, we have the produce. It's not getting to the every aspect of the the neighborhoods, and so I'll be talking about some action steps for that. So out of that brief data analysis that I just gave you, the health department came up with this strategic plan, and I'm sorry to say that the hospital developed their own strategic plan. But with these, they didn't take this model, but with these health indicators, but they just haven't adapted this one. So I've talked with you today about access to care and one of the issues around chronic disease. And so those are the action plans that I'm going to highlight in the 1 or 2 minutes I have left. Probably the most important thing that happened in this whole partnership collaborative is this, that the framework for our next 3 years is going to be based on this, the CDC health impact pyramid. That's astonishing, because we had, you know, physicians who said clinical interventions are make the largest impact. Hello. But we all agree that this would be the framework that we use for the next 3 years. Even in the health department, there were some people that said clinical interventions, we've got to put all of our money into more clinical interventions. But we've decided to focus more on these the larger impact interventions. So Go Wayne Go is the one intervention that I'm going to talk about. We started a Healthy Wayne Task Force and focused on our parks. And so I'm showing you a couple of renovated parks. And I've been to a lot of sessions here this week on how we're, you know, renovating our parks and our vacant lots, and that's wonderful. So we are, too, doing this. And we received $500,000 to run a greenway, 5-mile green public greenway through the county from the north to the south. So, you know, bringing in, I mean, it doesn't go all the way to the north and the south, but bringing in a lot of different communities for public walking. We worked with the local law enforcement by identifying walking routes that and increased their surveillance to ensure community safety, and farmers markets have been expanded. We started a produce peddler project. Has anybody heard about those? Young men bicycling with baskets on, going to homebound elderly when they call up. And so we have a North Carolina Extension program in our county. And so the young men are paid by the North Carolina Extension, and they peddle the produce to the homebound elderly. The main systems level, because access to care is so pervasive and has so much to do with the health of so many things, we partnered with Get Covered America. 106 senior nursing students received training, went out in 8 counties, our county being one of them, and in 7 weeks approached that many individuals, had a 38% response rate. Those are the people that needed information. We called this service learning project the Right to Information, and as you all know, there were states that wouldn't allow this information out in communities. This is another study in itself, because there were a lot of negative nursing students, you know, who are very vulnerable to criticism. They receive some negative comments in their counties, and, you know, it caused some tears, but, you know, they learned about social justice. In summary, this collaborative practice model shared resources, leadership, and responsibility for a comprehensive community health needs assessment. But more importantly, as a result of the broad assessment of primary and secondary data sources, the model shifted the focus from the individual to population health, as seen by the use of the CDC Health Impact Framework. Now, in the implementation and evaluation phase of the strategic plan, challenges remain. There's no doubt about it. Funding, communication, and leadership, we figured, are our biggest challenges moving forward. But I just came from the IOM, you know, evaluating programs for obesity outcomes, and they said those are the same challenges they have. So our next steps are to follow those recommendations in the evaluating progress on obesity prevention. We'll continue the Healthy Wayne Task Force and partnerships with the University College of Nursing and student engagement in the community through genuine service learning projects that make a large impact on social determinants of health. Thank you.